Morning, church family.
Howdy.
Good to have you here with us this morning. We are pleased to see such a full house today. Looking around. It's been a while since we've had this many pews full, and it's comforting. It's, We'd like to talk about 1 Peter 4:12 today. Is going to be our guest preacher, Robert Knotgrass, and his loving wife, Rhonda, are joining us today. We want to make sure everybody is aware that we are having a lunch directly following service. We don't want to miss that opportunity to meet and get to know one another a little better. We have also that I want to remind everyone of our prayer card. For those that are visiting with us, these prayer cards are in the pew in front of you, and it's an opportunity for you to write down any prayer need that you have that will allow us to pray for your specific need over the coming weeks or months, whatever the case requires. There's a box here to check if you'd like to keep it private so that it doesn't go to the entire congregation, it just come to the elders and the ministers. Sorry,
my voice is usually, what's that? Yeah, so my voice is usually loud enough. I don't need a mic, but I keep forgetting we're still doing the Zoom thing. Sorry for you out there in Zoom land. Fill out a prayer needs card, drop it in the collection box in the foyer. At the end of service, they'll be collected and distributed, put into our bulletin, and we'll all be praying for whatever specific need you have. Am I forgetting anything? I don't think so. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we recognize today is a special day that you've set aside for us, that we can focus our lives and our minds and our souls on your plan of salvation, your work in our lives. And as John brought to remembrance this morning, how we can work into your plan. Lord, we're just grateful to be here today. We enjoy one another's company, and we recognize, Lord, that all good things come from you. We're thankful, Lord, that we have this opportunity that you've blessed us with, this building to be warm and dry and to share one another's love in. And Lord, we just pray that all that we do today and all of our thoughts will be focused on you and bring you glory. It's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Today. If you have your Bibles, open them to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. The Apostle Peter here has given us a wonderful book here. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it begins to talk about how we're born again. We're born again to this living hope. He goes into that first chapter about calling us to live a life of holiness, calling us to live a life that is not just holy, but one that follows after the examples of Christ, the life of Christ. When we come to chapter 2, we read about us being a people of holiness, being a group, a togetherness in this holiness. He goes even further in that chapter and talks about being submissive to authority and being reminded of whom we serve. In chapter 3, he goes even further and talks about wives and husbands. He talks about suffering for righteousness' sake. He talks about more about giving our lives to Jesus. And then we come to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, he tells us to be good stewards. And he tells us again the life that we once lived. But then when we come to verse 12, he tells us something even greater. In verse 12 through 13, the Apostle Paul writes these words: "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you, as though some strange thing was happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." When you think of that verse, you have to kind of look back at the first century and what was going on at the time. Christians at this time were going through great persecutions. And so Peter is writing them, and he's encouraging them to, in their trials and tribulations. And he says this, he says, "Don't think that it's strange that you're having these difficulties. Don't think that it's odd or something interesting or peculiar is happening to you. You're not the only one to suffer. Many, in fact, have suffered. Many have gone through trials, have endured hardships. Even our Lord Jesus endured rough times. He went through those tough times. He went through times of discouragement. He went through times of wondering if he could actually proceed and go all the way through his plan, the plan that God had for him. If you remember, he stopped and he said, 'If it's your will, Lord, let this cup pass from me.'" It was a challenge. It was discouraging. But he bled and he died so that you and I might have the right to the tree of life. And when you think of that tree of life, and you think of those hardships, and you think of those pains, in your afflictions, Peter says, "I want you to rejoice. I want you to think of all those good things. I want you to rejoice in your faith as a Christian. I want you to rejoice that you share in Christ's sufferings. I want you to rejoice, even though we suffer, because God can bring us through it all. Even in our greatest troubles, even in our most uncertain times of life, we have something to rejoice about." In 1 Peter chapter 4, 14 through 16, Peter continues to write. And look at what he says. "If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." As we read here, Peter, he's telling these things to Christians, and he's saying, don't suffer or experience the pains of a murderer. And you think, well, that's kind of odd to have something like that in there when he's saying to rejoice. He says, don't suffer the afflictions of a thief or as an evildoer. Don't feel the effects of a busybody in other people's matters. "But yet if any man suffers because of his or her faith, don't be ashamed, but rather glorify God. Let him have the honor. Praise his name." And in the midst of our world, I want you to consider for a few moments the joy that we have as Christians. Because it doesn't matter how much we're going through in this world, there is nothing in this world that can take away the joy of being called a child of God. Absolutely nothing. Because our joy that we have doesn't come from this world. Now, you might forget that at times,
I forget that sometimes. I may allow the world to take away my joy. Some hang their heads low. Some become sad every day. Some go through a lot of frustrations, and they don't know if they're coming or going in life. But again, Peter writes, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God. Let him not lower his head. Let him not be sad every day, but let him glorify God, praise his name. And when you think about that, you begin to have that mindset, and you begin to realize that a Christian life is really a life that thinks like Christ. It's a life that we live a life through which Christ lives. And we ought to want to go to heaven so much that we cannot be bought by the world. We cannot be compromised by the world. We cannot be detoured by the world. And we cannot go back and live in a life of sin with the world. Come out and be separate. We don't flinch in sacrifices. The Christian does not hesitate in the presence of the devil. We will not ponder in the pool of mediocrity or the pool of popularity. And we will not walk through the maze of mediocrity because of the joy of our salvation, because of what Jesus has done for us. I've been a minister for several years, and I've been to the people's funerals. I've been where they've been ready to pass away. And I've heard people make certain confessions on their deathbeds. And I've read lots of people's confessions. I've heard them say things like, I'm sorry I've been with women, or I'm sorry I've been an agnostic, or I'm sorry I've been an atheist, or I'm sorry I haven't lived the Christian life, or I'm sorry I've been these things. But in all my research and study and being with people, I've never once read or even heard of anybody saying, I'm sorry I lived the Christian life. I've never heard it. This joy that we have as Christians is so heaven-bound that we just won't give up. We can't let up. We keep going all the way to the very end. Revelation 2 tells us to go all the way to the very end, and there's that crown of life. So my question for you this morning is, are you happy to be a child of God? That's a very important question. Are you happy to be a child of God? Are you glad that Jesus is holy and that we resemble him? That's an important question, because in the midst of this world and in the midst of our trials, we still have things to rejoice about. Number one, we have, as Christians, we have joy because our past has been redeemed. You go over and you look at what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. And Paul writes this. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the rivalers. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of us. Some were such of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. When I read that passage, I really kind of see two kinds of people who read that passage. One who reads it is like, oh man, he's picking on us really bad. But I see it a little different way. I see it as, thank God I'm not what I used to be. Thank God I'm not like I used to be. I'm glad when I look back over my life and all those things that have happened in the past, all the things that I've done wrong, I've been cleared of those things. I've been forgiven by God. They're not held against me in this world or in the world to come. Thank God I'm not like I used to be. Isn't it fantastic that the difference between us and God have been straightened out? That makes me want to praise his name even more. There was an old charge against us. But thank God in Jesus Christ, because the charges have been eradicated. They've been dropped. The record's been cleaned. And we have this fellowship with the Father. We have this fellowship with Jesus the Christ. We have this fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We've been added to the church. And our job, if you will, is thanking and praising God all day long because we are rejoicing in our salvation. Even today, we were edifying one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, scriptures, edification time, praising and thanking God. What a wonderful thing it is to know that our old account has been settled. The record is clear. If you've ever sang that psalm before, oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. I went down into the waters of baptism, Acts 2, verse 38. And though my sins were as scarlet, stained and dyed red, he made them whiter than snow, completely cleansed them. And so Christians are through with lowly living. They're through with worldly living. We've separated ourselves from the world. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 tells us that. And what a wonderful change that has come into our lives since Jesus came right into our hearts. And you're looking at a new man. You look at a new woman. When they come up out of the waters of baptism, there's a new creation, a new life. And if you're here today and you want to get rid of your yesterdays, Jesus is here. He is here and he meets you in that watery grave of baptism. He will perform an operation on your heart. He'll go down in between the heart and the soul, between the joints and the marrow, and he will cut you loose from all those sins, and he will give you a brand new start in life. As Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And isn't it good to know that our old sins have been forgiven? How many times have we had friends or even family or co-workers bring up something in the past that we did that we asked for forgiveness of and they forgot, so they said. But then when something bad happens, they bring it up again. Jesus don't do that. God don't do that. And isn't it good to know that all of the bad things that we did in the past are completely gone and forgiven, never to be brought up again, because we are new creatures in Jesus Christ. Oh, we still go through trials, don't we? We still go through tribulations, but we have something to rejoice about because we have that fellowship with Jesus Christ. And during this time or any other time, don't let anybody in this world take away the joy that you have as being one of the redeemed. You know, some people become overtaken by the world. Some people take their lives. Some people can't see what's beyond the problem. Some allow the pressures and problems to really get the best of them. Some people have a hard time living. They just don't know how to make things work. Many have asked me, and I'm sure they've asked you, and maybe you've had this same question. What are we going to do? How are we going to get past this? How are we going to overcome this issue? And I don't have those answers. I couldn't tell you. But I can tell you this. What I do know is that I'm not going to give up on what the Lord can do. Because what I can't do and what I don't know, He knows. And what I can't do, He can do. What I'm not able to do, He's able to do. And we know that the Bible tells us that all things are possible for those who believe, Mark 9, verse 23. There's something else, though, that Christians can rejoice about. We can rejoice because our life is structured around Jesus Christ. If you've got Jesus, you've got everything. The Lord provides. Somewhere, someone has said that the Lord is not in the opening business anymore, but He does. He constantly opens new doors. He makes a way where there is no way. Now, I don't know about you, but He'll put food on your table. He'll put money in your pocket, and He'll put health in your bones if you give your life to Him. The Lord is still in the blessing business. And we can have joy because our lives are centered around Jesus. And that ought to be the prayer that we pray every day. That Jesus is the best thing that has ever happened to us. And thank God that we know Jesus. That we know Him and love Him. And it is what God has done in the Christian life that makes us full of joy. When we look back, we can be glad because Jesus has brought us a mighty long way. And the Lord has held our hands. He's guided our footsteps. The Lord has beaten back the dark clouds. He's smoothed out our way. You know the song, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. That's the song we sing. We have joy because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before it. Every day is growing brighter. Every day is growing closer to Him. And we can thank God that it's well with our soul. Arthritis can't take it away. It is well with my soul. Heart trouble can't take it away. It is well with my soul. Hip pain, back pains, other pains, sicknesses, they cannot take away. It is well with my soul. And our Lord is blessing us right now. Because just as His eye is on the sparrow, I know He watches over me. And we sing because we are happy. And we sing because we are free. We sing because the Lord opens the doors when no one else will. We sing because the Lord picked me up and placed my feet on solid ground. We sing because He's an old-time God. He might not come when you want Him to, but He's always on time. And we sing because He helps us to keep our feet when we're in slippery places. We know people in this world try to trip us up, make us fall. But thank God that we have Jesus on our side to help us with those temptations. Thank God that we have the Scriptures to tell us that we'll not be tempted above that we're able, but He always has a way of escape for us. It's already planned if we look for it. And we sing because Jesus is ours and we are his. And the world cannot separate those two. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, the Apostle Paul writes, no death, no angel, no ruler, nothing present, nothing in all creation can take away our relationship with the Lord and his love that he has for us. Nothing. And when I wake up in the morning, I thank God for a brand new day. I thank him for the new mercies he gives me. I thank him for the things that I've never had before, and now I'm going to have. I thank him for his goodness. I thank him for him being a mighty God in my life. And God is holy. And as Christians, we have so much to rejoice in because of our relationship that we have in Christ. If you look over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 19, look at what the Apostle Peter continues to write. In verse 18 and 19, he says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or without spot. Here you have the Apostle Peter saying, thank God that the blood of Jesus has covered us because our lives are structured in Jesus and we're covered in that blood. In Ephesians 1 verse 7, the Bible says, in him we have redemption through that blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the richness of his grace. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, the Apostle John says, But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. And he's not just talking about at baptism, but he continues to cleanse our sins. John goes even further, though, and says, but if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful. He's just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't it good to know that we have Christ cleansing us day after day after day when we stumble and when we fall? He's there to pick us up. He's there to grab us by the hand as he did Peter when he sank into the water. And I'm glad that his blood cleanses me. I'm glad that we're covered by that blood. I'm glad that my past and my future is covered in that blood. I gave my life to Jesus. I gave my heart to him, my soul. I gave him my all. And he continually watches over me. The Christian has joy because we are part of the fellowship of the unashamed. We're together. If we had 10,000 tongues, I'm assuming we would praise his name in every one of them. We would just give him praise because we're not ashamed of Christ. We're not ashamed of his name. And there is something in that name. There's something about the name of Jesus. I've actually met a couple people by the name of Jesus. But when I say their name, it doesn't really have the same meaning as when I say his name. It's different. The name reveals his history. It reveals the ancestry in that name. It identifies me as one of his own. And that's very important because the Bible tells us in Acts 4, verse 12, that there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name. Acts 11, 26 tells us that in Antioch, we were first called Christians there. In 1 Peter 4, verse 16, Peter, he says again, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Thank God we are members of that blood-bought church. The church that will stand forever. And when we obeyed the gospel of Christ, according to Acts 2:47, the Lord added us to the church. And he tells us there that they continually praised God and had favor with all the people because the Lord was adding to the church daily all those who wanted to be saved. Are you here this morning and not a member of the Church of Christ? Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And I'm glad to be part of that church. It does speak where the Bible speaks, as mentioned in Bible class. It's silent where we ought to be silent. But I'm glad to be in the Church of Christ because it is blood-bought. It is spirit-filled. It is hell-proof. And it is heaven-bound. Its headquarters are in heaven where the head is. It's unique in that it sings without instruments. It's unique in that it takes the Lord's Supper every Sunday because we want to remember. We want those memories flowing through our minds and through our hearts. It's unique because it baptizes for the remission of sins. And I'm glad to be in the church. And if you want heaven to be your home, then you need to be a member of that blood-bought church. And if you're not a Christian, then you're living beneath your privilege. You're living beneath your potential of who you can be. And if you're here this morning and your life's not right with God, you're living under your potential of who you are supposed to be. Don't be that person. That's one of the reasons why we have an invitation at the end of a lesson. Because there should be no reason why anybody doesn't go to heaven. The Lord died for us all. And the Bible tells us how to be with Jesus. You look in the Bible and you won't find in there where someone prayed for that pardon to be a Christian. In the Bible, you won't find someone who became a member just by placing membership to be a Christian. In the Bible, you don't see one about how they just got religion and became a Christian. You don't find them speaking in tongues and all of a sudden they're a Christian. The Bible tells us exactly how people became a Christian. Romans 10:17 says that Jesus lived and he died and he was buried. And in order to become a Christian, you need to know that message. And to continue living that life of Christ, you have to remember that message, that Jesus died for you, that he's on the right hand of the throne of God now, living for you, going to the Father on your behalf. In John 8, verse 24, the Bible tells us that you've got to believe in him as the Son of God. And that's something that we still have to do today as Christians, because sometimes we as Christians fall. You know the parable of the soil. There's four soils. There's what? The stones, the thorns, the good, and the wayside. Four hearts. Out of those four hearts, two of them were followers of Jesus. And two of them left. The rocky got too tough. Thorny got too complicated. We can fall. So we've got to believe in the Son of God still. Luke 13, verse 3, we've got to repent of our sins, even today. John says, if we confess our faults, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Acts 2:38 says, we've got to go into the watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins. And the Lord will add you to the church, as he did in Acts 2, as he does today. Somewhere in this world, somebody will be baptized into Jesus Christ. And they will leave that old life. And they will rise up and they will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all those things will be added to him. And God provides when no one else will provide, just as he does for us. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, the Bible tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and do not lean on our own understandings. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path straight. And during the fiery trials of your soul, I want you to remember something. Keep holding on. Don't give up. Remember that the joy of our salvation and the joy that we have through him is so important. And we need to remember that joy and to make sure that don't let anybody separate you from that love of Jesus Christ, from the joy of being a Christian. But if you're here today and your life's not right, if you've lost that joy, then come to him. Allow him to give you that joy again. Allow him to remind you of what it is of being a child of God. If we can help in any way, won't you come as we sing for your encouragement?